You know, God really does truly enjoy giving blessings to his people and to even nations. People who are willing to turn to him and who are willing to be obedient. God takes delight and he takes pleasure in seeing people, you know, blessed. God does not take pleasure in seeing people cursed or suffering or paying penalties. But he really gets a delight out of seeing people prosper and be successful. It's interesting in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to be in Chronicles most all day. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, one of my favorite verses, and it says in verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth you shall have wars." He's talking to Asa. But he was telling Asa, hey, God's eyes and his awareness is going up and down. Actually, there are other scriptures that show that these eyes are his angelic beings that are looking. But God is also aware of what's going on, on what nations are doing, what human beings are doing, and looking for opportunity to show himself strong, to show himself as God in our lives. So for you and for me, we have to recognize that God wants above everything to bless our lives, to give his blessing on what's going on in our lives as we are willing to obey, to serve, to understand his laws, to want to do what he wants us today. And you know, when God blesses, he does so in some pretty dramatic ways, doesn't he? I think all of us probably can look back in our lives and realize God has dramatically intervened and shown himself strong on our behalf in many times, whether it be in healings, whether it be interventions from accidents, or whether it be in knowledge and understanding, or whatever it might be, that God has shown some pretty dramatic interventions in our life. So today I thought I would take the time, and I'd like to just go through, and we'll read and relate the account of one of the kings of Judah, who not only was personally blessed, but he ensured that the whole nation of Judah was also rewarded. And God, in some very dramatic ways, showed himself strong on this king's behalf and on his people, the nation of Judah. That king is King Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament, in the book of Chronicles. I know many times we will read about King Josiah, or we will read about King Hezekiah. But King Jehoshaphat was also a king who was extremely successful, and he was extremely blessed by what God did to and through him, because he was willing to obey God and God to be his father and to be the one who was telling him what was right and what was wrong. So there are a lot of points as we will be going through this book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, about Jehoshaphat, which we want to just read and realize that they have counterparts in our lives as to what we do. The first point I would really like to make is that Jehoshaphat learned from his father. Jehoshaphat was willing to listen to, look at, and be aware of what his father Asa had done and what God had done through Asa, King Asa as the father, and what the results were. And we'll find back in 2 Chronicles 14, chapter 14, about Asa. This is the father of King Jehoshaphat. Many of us might remember Asa only for his lapse of doing what was right, because he sought to the Baal in order to try to have his foot healed. And that might be our memory of Asa, but on the other area, actually, Asa was a righteous king. And so in chapter 14, beginning of verse 1, it says, Abijah then slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead in his days. The land was quiet for 10 years. So as Abijah dies and Asa now becomes a new king, he is rewarded with 10 years of peace and quietude and rest. And so it says, verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And he took away the altars of the strange gods, and he took down the high places, and he broke down the images, and he cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Not only did he want to do what was right, but he was in a position that he could command that the people of Judah and the nation of Judah, that they also would obey the commandments of God. Well, later on we'll see that Jehoshaphat follows that example. So Jehoshaphat learned all of this and began to understand a lot. So we find that peace and rest were given to him in verse 6, where it says, and he built the fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. Rest comes from God. When we want rest and we want peace, or we want respite from something, true rest and true peacefulness comes from God. And so it says here that Judah had rest because God gave them rest. And there was no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. If you and I want rest in our lives, there's only one source of which you and I can go to get it. And that's from God. You can go to psychologists and you can go to all kinds of people who might give you certain ideas and thoughts. But if you want true rest, it's because you put your faith and your confidence in God and you no longer are worried and you're not trying to solve your own problems. So peace and rest come from God. And that we know. Over in verse 7, he says, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. So the big point of Jehoshaphat was he listened to what and observed to what was going on with his father, and that his father had been rewarded with peace and with quietude. Coming on down to verses 14 and 15 of chapter 14, he says in chapter 14, actually, chapter 15, I want, where he says in verses 2 to 4, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear you me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you. This is when Azariah, the son of Oded, the prophet of God, went to Asa, and he says that the Lord is with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. But when they did come to God, when they in their trouble turned to God, the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. Verse 4. So you had a tremendous revival during the days of Asa, of turning to God, wanting God to be their God and his ways to be their ways. And God says, as long as you follow me, I will be with you. Coming on down to verses 14 and 15, then he says, and all of Judah rejoiced at that oath because they made a covenant with God. In verse 14, and they swore unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all of Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all of their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. If we lack rest and lack peace in our lives, there's only one place we really need to look, and that is, what is our relationship with God like? If we're not being given peace and rest, then obviously there's something amiss in what we're doing, because it's God's desire that we have rest. The rest that comes for recuperation. And so Judah rejoiced at being able to have God on their side. So Asa set the example for King Jehoshaphat. And so now we find that Jehoshaphat seeks God, and he wants to walk in his ways. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we'll pick up the story. In verse 1, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead, and he strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all of the fenced cities of Judah, and he set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, while Asa his father had taken, which Asa had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and he sought not to Baalim. Many times in going through the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, you kind of find that you'll have one good king and then you'll wind up with a bad king. Many times the own son turns out to be bad, right? But in this case, Asa was a good king, and his son Jehoshaphat carried on the tradition of being obedient to God, because Jehoshaphat sought God and he wanted God to be his father and to be his God the way David had done before. And verse 4 says, but they sought to the Lord God of his father, and they walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. And therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all of Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he was rich. He had great riches brought, and he was honored in abundance. And it said in verse 6 that his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Most of the time when our heart is lifted up, it's by getting pride and arrogance. But in Asa's situation, or Jehoshaphat said when he lifted his heart up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. So we find that Jehoshaphat seeks God and walks in his ways. We've been talking a lot in the last few weeks about seeking God, about reading and studying His Word, about letting God teach us, about letting God's Word totally shower us with His Word and His laws, and allowing our lives to be totally washed clean by the Word of God. So the question, like with Jehoshaphat, it says he sought God. The question in our lives, are we like Jehoshaphat? Do we seek God? And are we walking in His ways as Jehoshaphat did here in 2 Chronicles? And because of that, he was rewarded with many things. A third area is that Jehoshaphat was so desirous of wanting God and wanting His ways that he wanted to teach all of Judah God's laws. Over in 2 Chronicles 17, in verses 7 to 12, then we says, also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail and to Obadiah and to Zechariah and to Nethaneel and to Micaiah to teach in the cities of Judah. So he had all of these teams of individuals to go out now to the various cities of Judah and to teach them. And then he says, verse 8, and with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah and Nethaniah and Zebadiah and Azahel and Shemiramoth and Jehonathan and Adonijah and Obijah. And he sent all of these Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests. And they taught in Judah, and had the law, book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went about throughout the cities of Judah, and taught the people. So here you had a king that wanted not only to follow God himself, but he wanted the peoples of God, his sheep, the ones he was responsible for, that he wanted them to be blessed by having the teaching of God to them. And so he's gave all of these Levites and these people responsibilities. It's kind of like in the days of Elijah, where they set up schools to teach the way of God. Kind of like what it's going to be like in the millennial reign of God, right? Where they're going to hear their teachers behind them, teaching them the way of God. Well, Jehoshaphat did that way back in these days. So what was God's reward to Jehoshaphat? Coming on down here, it says in verse 9, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and they went out through all of the cities of Judah and taught the people. And because of that, the fear of the Lord fell upon all kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah. When we obey and serve God, then other nations and other peoples around see that, and they see the witness, and then they learn to fear. Now, it turns out that Jehoshaphat became exceedingly rich in verse 12, and Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store, and he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And it turns out that in the days of Jehoshaphat, he had 960,000 proven men in an army of 960,000 people, and when you put them all together, pretty good sized army. He was greatly rewarded by God. However, Jehoshaphat was not perfect. And one of the problems that Jehoshaphat had was that there was an affinity and a family marital relationship with King Ahab of Israel. And Jehoshaphat wanted to try to keep this family affinity or relationship going, so he joins up in a military battle with the king Ahab of Israel. And you wind up finding out what happened. Ahab gets killed. Jehoshaphat finally comes back home, but the nation of Israel is punished, and the armies defeat them. But Ahab did at least seek God's guidance, and even in that, as you will find in the book, chapter 18, he wanted to know, well, isn't there a prophet in here that's going to advise you what's right and what you should do? And as the story goes, Ahab says, yeah, well, we got prophets, and they're all saying, go, 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 you know? Well, any time everybody says, go, 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 that's a problem, okay? And so Jehoshaphat says, well, isn't there any other prophets? Isn't there a prophet of God anywhere around here that we can ask him? And finally, Ahab said, well, yeah, there is this one guy over here called Micaiah, or Micah. But I don't like going to him because he always prophesies bad stuff. He never tells me anything good. So I don't go to him. I only listen to these other guys. Well, that should be a warning that we ought not just to listen to people who agree with us, by the way. It's nice to be able to listen to people who don't agree, and we learn from them. And what happens anyway is that Jehoshaphat does finally listen to, or Ahab and Jehoshaphat listen to what Micah says, and Micah says, hey, don't go up to Ramoth Gilead because you're going to get defeated. Well, unfortunately, Ahab does anyway, and he goes, and Jehoshaphat allowed himself to be pulled into that activity because of his aligning himself with a family relationship and a family difficulty. So what can we learn from that in 2 Chronicles 19? Where it's God tells him what happened in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 19. And he set judges. In verse 2 and 3 it actually. And so Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the ungodly? And should you love them that hate the Lord? Therefore his wrath is upon you from before the Lord. Because you went out and you wanted to be aligned with ungodly people like Ahab, who was one of the most wicked kings in all of Israel. But he had a family relationship. And sometimes it's so easy for us also to allow family relationships to pull us into things that we know aren't right. So the question, do we sometimes align ourselves with ungodly people and with those who do not love God and they do not relate to God? Perhaps we ought to listen to what Christ says in Luke chapter 14, verse 25. That we can't allow anything to come before our love of God, whether it be husband or wife or family or children or money or anything else. Jehoshaphat hadn't learned that lesson, and so he, to some degree, was punished for it. But then it says in verse 3 of chapter 19, nevertheless, there are good things found in you. See, God doesn't just look at the bad things or what happened. He also is looking for the good things that he saw. And he said, there are good things found in you, and that you have taken away the groves out of the land, and you have prepared your heart to seek God. So So there was, and so because of that, God then was going to continue to bless him. And in carrying out those good things, in verse 5, he says that he set up judges in the land. And he told those judges in verse 6, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. Now, our lives also are that way. Judge our own lives, that we are to some degree judging for God. If we look at our lives and we know what's right and wrong, and we better realize, as it says in verse 7, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you, and take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor is there any respect of persons, nor is there taking of gifts or bribes. There is no iniquity in God. That's what one of the lessons we all need to learn. And so Jehoshaphat learned from his mistake, and he strengthened his efforts to obey God. When we make a mistake and we get punished for it, do we then turn and renew our efforts and strengthen our efforts, and our determination then is stronger to obey and to serve God, not going the opposite direction and allowing ourselves to become bitter or have other wrong feelings at all. So Jehoshaphat sets up these judges, and he tells the judges and the Levites that they are judging for God, and that God is righteous, and that God knows what's right and wrong, and there's no iniquity in him. And so then Jehoshaphat goes, and God gives him another test. Now what are you going to do, Jehoshaphat? And so Jehoshaphat faces another test in chapter 20. And he says, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon were with the other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea, which, by the way, would be the Dead Sea, by the way, at this time, on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, and in Engad, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So he didn't stray away from God because of the punishment and correction. He actually turned with more power and more strength in order to show God that he feared him and wanted to seek God. And so he proclaimed even a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together, verse 4, to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They saw what was happening down there in Jerusalem, and so many others, even from some of the other tribes, they began to trickle over the borders and into Jerusalem because they wanted to be recipients of the blessings that they were watching Jehoshaphat get. And so verse 5 says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. So here they were facing an ominous problem. When it says a great multitude, we don't know how many that is. But my suspicions are that it was over a million. Over a million, because they had faced million before. This was a great multitude. And so Jehoshaphat then said to the people in the court of God in verse 6, a tremendous relationship and attitude. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are not you God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hands is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? Are not you our God? who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel, and you gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwelt therein and have built you a sanctuary therein for your name, say, verse 9, if when all evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in your presence, for your name is in this house, and cry unto you in our affliction, then you will hear and help. And now, God, he says, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, the very nations whom you did not let Israel invade when they came into the land. Now they have turned from them, and now they are showing their what kind of reward they're giving to us by wanting to cast us out. Verse 11. Behold, I say now how they reward us to come to cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. And then he says, O our God. It's a tremendous prayer. O my our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us, and neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I'm sure we've all faced those kind of trials and tests at different times. Then what did they do? And so all the Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. They honored God, and they went to God, and they sought God, and they wanted God to be there with them. And so God tells them to do some things. In verse 17, well, let's go on down to verse 14. And so, then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken you all, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, you say, thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. That's a fantastic lesson that we all should learn, right? The battle, when we have problems or trials or whatever it might be, the battle is not ours, it's God's. And so he told him in verse 16, tomorrow you go down against them. Behold, they will be coming up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And he says, you shall not need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord. With you, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Kind of reminds you of what he said back in Exodus chapter 14 before the Red Sea, right? Stand still and see the salvation of God. In verse 18 he says, and Jehoshaphat then bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The whole nation would have been an awesome sight that they all bowed and humbled themselves and fell before God. And then it says, the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early then in the morning, and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and he said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. then we ought to believe and put our faith and our total trust in God. And verse 21, and so when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, or praise the Eternal, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushment against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They didn't even have to raise a sword. They didn't have to fight any of it. And God said, I'll take care of it. And he has some pretty fantastic ways of taking care of problems, right? In this case, in verse 23, for the children of Ammon and the Moab, they stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. So they began to turn on each other, and Ammon and Moab destroyed Mount Seir and the people of Seir or Edom. And everyone helped to destroy one another. I'll go back to the rest of that sentence. And so when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Then they turned on each other. Amazing what God's Spirit can do. And so then when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found it among them in abundance, riches and dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil from this defeated army up there, in which they didn't have anything to do except to believe in God. So after it was over, they blessed God in this valley, which means the valley of blessing. And then they came, in verse 28, to Jerusalem with psalteries and with harps and with trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of the nations when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. And so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. It was at rest, for his God gave him rest round about. And so he reigned then for 25 years. And verse 32 says, he walked in the ways of Asa, his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Jehoshaphat, he had his ups and he had his downs, but his life on a whole was one that was desirous to serve God, to follow in the ways of his father Asa, and to want to be obedient to his God and to serve his people. It's tremendous lessons that we can learn in all of the acts of Jehoshaphat. When we come through trials, do we then thank God for the deliverance, for what we reap, so that then we can receive the rest that comes from God like Jehoshaphat did? He did that which was right. And if we do that which is right in the eyes of God, following the example of Jehoshaphat and Asa, then we too will be blessed. And we then can have rest in our lives.